We live under the empire of lies. And this empire, as we make very clear, is not restricted to the United States. No, when thousands of Ukrainian teenagers are fed into a meat grinder to protect oligarchs and enrich war profiteers, that's part of the empire of lies. When historic civilizations like Italy or Germany or Britain are completely annihilated by replacement migration from Africa, that's part of the empire of lies too. And in fact, perhaps the single worst and most sinister lie in the empire of lies took place just north of America in the country of Canada. You see, Canada's national identity used to be rooted in being one of the most Christian countries in the entire world. Now, to the extent that it has any identity at all, it's nothing but being an even more liberal and insane version of America. Canada has abortion nationwide up until birth. They have assisted suicide for depressed young adults, MAID, medical assistance in dying. They do gun grabs in response to mass shootings in America. Given their national identity, Canada's response to the George Floyd riots of 2020 was one of envy. Canada's white liberals were deeply upset that they didn't have a civil war or a history of slave ownership to self-flagellate over. They didn't have their own statues to tear down. They didn't have some excuse to burn down their own downtowns. It was all very upsetting to them. So Canada did the same thing that liberal women do when they want attention. They simply just made something up. 100 years ago, when Canada was settling the West, they tried to uplift the country's First Nation tribes, which still lived like it was the Stone Age. Canadian Christians built residential schools to raise First Nations children to be Christians who followed European practices. So the intent was to get them away from First Nations home lives, which were violent and ravaged by problems like alcoholism, and to educate them so they could integrate with wider Canadian life. Well, now Canada has taken that reality and twisted it into some of the worst lies imaginable. In 2021, activists claimed that they began finding mass graves on the grounds of Christian schools and churches that serve First Nations communities. The claim, repeated endlessly with no pushback allowed, was that Christians carried out a systematic policy of kidnapping and genociding First Nations children just to be evil. Canada's media endorsed this lie, of course. So did dictator Justin Trudeau's government. And in response, there was this wave of violence and destruction across all of Canada. More than 80 churches were attacked. Several were burned down completely. The response from Trudeau? Well, you deserve it. It was all a lie. All of it. Not a single one of these mass graves was even real. They were either normal cemeteries or contained no bodies at all. The response of Canada's elites to that fact has been to suggest that Canada should just pass laws making it illegal to deny the residential schools genocide. What they want isn't the truth. What they want is a hammer that they can use to destroy Christianity and any moral standing of white people in Canada. They need to do that, because Canada is deep into a great replacement project themselves. No country has gone more deeply all in on letting the entire planet right into Canada. They're letting migrants pour in from Asia and from the Middle East and from Africa. They're going to render Canada entirely unrecognizable and entirely unaffordable, too. Foreign investors are buying up all of Canada's land and property, turning the whole country into San Francisco, where a home is completely beyond the reach of anyone in the former middle class. But ordinary people are being told that they deserve this because their ancestors were evil, all based on a lie. Robin Riley is an Orthodox Christian, a mother, and a retired political pundit, and she joins us now. Robin, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Am I exaggerating any of that in any way? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong about any of that.
No, I don't think there was any exaggeration there at all. So, personally, I think that that's exactly how I experience it here on the ground in Canada.
So as a result of this, this Canadian land is being sold to foreign invaders.
It seems so. I mean, sometimes it's hard to know whether or not the investors are Canadian citizens. You know, the immigration policies here allow for chain migration. So, you know, one person can come from any country and then their whole family can follow them with a great amount of ease. Whether or not they are foreign, you know, I guess it's debatable depending on how you would define a Canadian nowadays. Most Canadians, it's just paperwork, right? So, but in my neighborhood, yeah, it's, I mean, my neighborhood in my house, it's like my landlord is not a old stock Canadian. Majority of the landlords of my neighbors are not old stock Canadian. So, yeah.
So all of that being said, what is the on the ground, real life, everyday look at the detriment that Canadians are facing as a result of all of this?
Well, a lot of Canadians can't afford groceries. You know, like the inflation is completely out of control, and we're very, very, very politically atomized and divided from one another. Just walking around in my neighborhood, it's kind of funny. It's not funny, but it is funny. People will sort of signal their the political mythologies that they subscribe to in their living room windows. With regard to the mass graves, the symbol that you are against the mass graves, and against the Christian residential schools is by you place an orange t-shirt, hanging in your front living room window. And the t-shirts often are, they're bright orange, which is the color of the First Nations protest movement. And they say every child matters. And then the same people often will have a Ukrainian flag, you know, printed haphazardly out on, like, you know, A4 sheet. So it's not even like the proper shape of a flag. They're just like, it's like a yellow and a blue square taped to their living room window. And I find it kind of funny personally, just because I think there is an innate tying together of beauty and truth. And there's nothing more unaesthetic than these front living room windows.
What do you think it is that inspires all of this? Do these people really know about these mass graves? Are they rooted in the truth? Have they gone and done their own research? Do they know what's really happening in Ukraine when they're putting these flags, these blue and yellow flags in their windows? And we see all, by the way, everything that you're mentioning here, we see all of this here in our country as well. I mean, none of this is new to the West, and this is by design. This is an infiltration. This is an overtaking. This is an occupying one world governance. But do they even know what it is that they're standing for? Or is this just so that they can be in their social circles and accepted by the neighborhood and mark themselves safe from being a conservative or a patriot or a Canadian first representative individual?
I think that that's absolutely a part of it. I think that the spin from our media, the CBC and the likes, when these stories come out is immense. It dominates the entire cultural conversation in the country for a matter of weeks, right? Everyone is reporting on the same story, repeating the same talking points over and over and over again. And then, of course, there's a confirmation bias there. You know, if these stories are validating the white people are bad, Christianity is bad, that will just sort of be taken without, they won't do too much, you know, counter research in that if it's like a reputable media company who's reporting on it. And then when the inevitable truth comes out and the same media companies will report on, oh, actually there haven't been any bodies found in these mass graves, the media attention is obviously far less. And so the mythology continues and people never really correct themselves. And this, the exact same thing happened with COVID.
Yes.
I mean, when we found out that the masks, you know, weren't really a big deal, that didn't matter because the mythology had already been ingrained in the public. And there's a lot of incentive to keep it going because liberal Canadians like to believe that they are, you know, heroic, and they love the idea of themselves being humanitarians and good people. And these are all signifiers in their mind of being good people. That's how they want to be perceived, right? So that's why they're very vocal about it. And then they want people to see it in their living room windows when they signal the flag, the Ukrainian flag and stuff like that.
These people are like zombies, honestly. I don't really know any other way. They're the most out of touch and they don't care. Brutal ignorance is bliss to these people. They don't want to know the truth. Masks don't work. 10 articles could come out. The media could all blast that out, but these people will still wear them as an identifying feature, like you said, confirmation bias, virtue signaling. No, I am this, and this is my ideology, and I'm politically aligned with this group of people, and to signify that in public and be proud of it so that I can identify my like breed, I have to wear this oxygen-inhibiting, bacteria-ridden, Sharia-style face diaper in order to get approval from the crowd that I want to be a part of. I mean, how minimalist is that? I mean, how superficial is that?
It's pretty crazy.
Let me actually, like, the real question, yeah. How dangerous is that, not only for your neighborhood, but for your city, for your county, for your state, for your country?
Well, it's destroyed the Canadian identity as I knew it growing up and as my parents have known it and my grandparents have known it growing up. That's not really something that even really exists anymore. And if you're even remotely speaking in casual conversation with even people who would be considered maybe even conservative about ideas of traditional Canadian identity, or speaking positively about the old stock Canadians or the settlers of this country, you would be met with kind of like raised eyebrows. So, it's really sad. And I don't think that the First Nations people are actually getting a good deal either, because they're being used as proxy warriors in all of this. Like, yeah. There's a huge amount of investment that the state has in keeping these people down and out.
Isn't that kind of synonymous with the way that we have treated Native Americans in this country?
Of course. And I mean, if the state was actually invested in helping these people recover from whatever damage had been done to their demographic through colonization, there are like really effective ways that we can see by looking at other places around the world that have recovered from all sorts of different catastrophes and are now, you know, modern, you know, functioning perfectly fine. But if they give up the First Nations, the tragedy of their community, then they're no longer able to weaponize that tragedy against the old stock Canadians of this country and use it as evidence that white supremacy is still, you know, alive and well, and make sure that the white people of today, my generation and even younger, are still feeling guilty for things that, of course, were
not only that, but that they're punished for it, whether it's through reparations or public ridicule or, you know, different, you know, treatment, unpreferential treatment when they're going to supermarkets, or your children in the schools who are taught to hate themselves if their skin color happens to be white because somehow they're, you know, an oppressor based on what allegedly happened centuries ago, but we're finding out is actually 100% completely fake. And, you know, as far as like the oppressed, the alleged oppressed or the victims of these constructs that our government makes up and then our media perpetuates because they're employed to do so. You mentioned the CBC. You can look at any one of the major broadcast networks here and cable news networks and a lot of the alternative media broadcasts that claim to be conservative. They're all owned and funded by the same people, the Vanguards and the BlackRocks and the Rothschilds and all of these people, Soros. They funnel money into it. And it's just a regurgitating, complete like cycle of over and over propagandizing and programming and brainwashing the viewers who think that the government is here to help and that the media is giving them the news and telling them the truth, determining for them what it is that they should do on a daily basis through their television sets. It's disgusting. But, you know, the people who they claim to be victims are the ones that they actually target for extinction and murder and mass genocide by taking people like, oh, just say blacks, and putting them in the ghetto and keeping them in the ghetto and offering them government assistance that's second to none. It would inspire nobody to get off of their ass and actually go and get a real job and be a contributing member of society. And then, by the way, we're going to flood illegal guns into those communities. And like Tupac said, step back and watch them kill each other. The same thing with Native Americans, by the way. We're going to put them in these designated areas. We're going to call them reservations. We're going to reward them with the ability to run casinos and then pay them hundreds of thousands of dollars, upwards of that in some places, every single month, starting when they're 18 years old. And then, of course, what do you think happens at casinos and with rich children, essentially, who've never really had an education? Of course, they get hooked on opioids, heroin. They start abusing alcohol. They start, you know, fighting and then killing each other. And so, of course, this is something that's not regularly talked about by the media. And I think that that's something that people would be a lot more unified on if they really stepped back and took a look at the naked, bare, honest truth and said, look, these people that we're calling the protected class are actually the people that we have singled out to kill. I've got a minute left here. I'll give you the final words. Robin Riley.
Pray for us. pray for our country, because it's not looking good up here.
Well, we'll ask that you do the same. We have a lot of viewers in Canada. We have a big heart for Canada. We keep you in our prayers constantly. We're in this together 100%, from the wildfires that occurred up there to the ones that happened in our country here in Maui. None of this was wild. This is all being planned 100%. We're in this COVID thing together. We're watching elections get rigged and stolen together. And ultimately, it's going to be we, the people, that has to come together and be the plan. Robin Riley, thank you so much for bringing your perspective today. We appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you for having me.
I don't believe in the process of elections. I believe it's all rigged. I believe that they're all stolen. And the more I talk about this with experts every day, the more I'm convinced that we're living in this movie. It's all fake. But let's just say that somehow, magically, overnight, we return to this constitutional republic, two-party representative government system where your vote counts and it's real. There's not a single candidate who's willing to throw their balls on the table and stand up to do the right thing. The institutions that we rely on, the government, the legal system, the media, all of them seem to be increasingly focused on their own agendas rather than serving the interests of the public. We need to recognize that we can't count on them to save us. So you have to save yourself. And part of saving yourself means protecting your future. That's why I partnered with Gold Co. Because I believe that they can help you get into gold and silver just like they did for me. Here's the facts. Gold Co. has helped protect over $2 billion in gold and silver for people just like you and me. And right now they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver with qualified orders just for being a supporter of the Stu Peters Show. So whether you want to protect 50 grand or half a million or more, this is your opportunity to protect yourself from their out-of-control, corrupt government. Don't be a victim. Call Gold Co. 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD or go to goldco.com/stu. Here's a question. You ever feel like your pain is holding you back? How many of you aren't able to go on a walk with your grandchildren because your knees hurt too much? This is the reality for millions of people over 50. They suffer from pain that can make it difficult to get around, to sleep, to enjoy life. But there is a brand new product that can help you get your life back. QE Strong Pain Patches are made with natural ingredients that are extremely safe, and they work. Just simply apply one patch to the affected area and you'll feel relief in minutes. If you're tired of living with pain, try QE Strong Pain Patches today. Go to qestrong.com/stu. Again, that's qestrong.com/stu.
And Ukraine is fake? And I just wonder what you meant by that.
Oh, so what I mean is that we're funneling money into a fake country, a construct of a country that wasn't even a country before 1991. These were arbitrary borders set up by the Bolsheviks and Vladimir Lenin during the Color Revolution. These are arbitrary borders. Most of the people in that country that are Russians just want to be Russia. So this is just exactly what happens when you agitate a country full of people that you tell are going to be a part of this fake construct with this installed leather chap wearing ostensibly homosexual piano penis playing actor. I mean, that's Vladimir Zelensky. How many Y's are in his name this week? I mean, the whole thing is fake. Even his name is fake. Of course it's all fake. And we're sending hundreds of billions of dollars there to enrich NGOs. And, you know, basically it's a Lockheed Martin missile testing site is what it is. All of the bodies are buried in Ukraine. This is the country that paid millions of dollars in bribes to the former vice president, sitting vice president's son, Hunter Biden. Have you reported on that? Did you report on the laptop? Did you?
Me personally? No, but the BBC.
Why? Why didn't you?
Me personally, you know.
Yeah, no. You don't care. You don't care. You don't care about all the corruption because you're a part of it. You help to perpetuate it. That's why. You don't care.
What is it that's driving America's psychotic elite to this unfettered and fervent commitment to this proxy war against Russia in Ukraine? We have to ask these questions. Why have we thrown away close to $200 billion on a war that we can't win? No matter what way you look at this, there's no winning this war. We achieve basically nothing by sending $200 billion to this cesspool of corruption, where the worst possible outcome is that we back Vladimir Putin into a corner so greatly that he only has one last resort, and that's blowing up the entire world. It really doesn't make a lot of sense. It's fundamentally irrational. So what makes people do irrational things? Well, among other causes, grievance. Brian James Fail is a writer and reporter who's contributed to the Federalist, American Greatness, Newsmax, and other outlets. Well, he has this brand new piece for townhall.com. And in that piece, he argues, hey, much of America's involvement in Ukraine is driven by old-fashioned ethnic grievance. So instead of being led by Americans who worry about the interests of America, instead, United States foreign policy is increasingly driven by people who feel ties to their old mother countries and the baggage those countries bring with them. We can see this all over the place. America is constantly nudged toward greater interventionism by immigrants who still have one foot in their old countries. Venezuelan exiles are constantly agitating for regime change there. Our constant Middle East intervention is heavily driven by people with a stake in Iran or Israel or any of the other countries there. And of course, we have a whole mountain of people with old grudges against Russia. One of the biggest hawks in our government is Biden's Deputy Secretary of State, Victoria Nuland. It's worth mentioning, Nuland is the granddaughter of Meyer Nudelman, a Jewish man who fled to New York from modern Ukraine to escape poverty and persecution in Russia. Anthony Blinken's grandparents lived under Soviet oppression in Hungary. Alexander Vindman was literally born in Kiev. Our government is honeycombed with people who have reason to hold personal grudges against Russia and the Russian people. And so, surprise, surprise, we keep getting into conflict with them, even though it's entirely against America's interests. We encourage all of you to look up Brian Fail's piece on Town Hall, and he joins us now. I mean, what say you?
I fully agree with you. I can understand, you know, the ethnic grudge or the grievance against, you know, the former USSR. But you don't take that into office. You don't take that into policy matters for the United States. That's absurd. That's your personal heritage. That's your personal business. I don't know. It's just so absurd. And, you know, it started with, Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. As we know, her family was a Jewish family from Czechoslovakia. They fled the Nazis and the Soviets, and she had three grandparents that died in the Holocaust. And she took that, you know, that sentiment to fight this ethnic cleansing, and she took that over to Yugoslavia, which at the time in the 90s, Bosnia and Kosovo, they had a lot of ethnic tensions and social tensions. You had the president that was encouraging Serbian nationalism, and they wanted to get autonomy over Vojvodina and Kosovo. So I don't know. I don't know if she felt like some sort of, compelled to rectify, you know, these wrongs in that certain light. But it just seems like these leaders that we have are taking these personal investments and taking it into our policies.
You certainly don't believe that Vladimir Putin just woke up one day and decided to be a ruthless war criminal, do you?
No, I don't believe a lot of what I hear about Putin. I think a lot of what's going on with him is he's being pressured by, you know, NATO satellite states that are being constantly installed. We had Finland, I think it was just last year, that joined NATO. And it's like Russia is being surrounded by some sort of security state with missiles aimed right at it.
That's right.
And it just doesn't make any sense.
How did Volodymyr Zelensky end up in office in Ukraine? And what is really going on with the $200 billion, by the way, with no accounting and with no accountability, that's just being sent from me and you and all of our fellow Americans to him? Where is it? Where is it going?
Well, that's the million-dollar question right there. And Blinken actually announced yesterday that they were going to send another $1 billion. We really don't know the full details of this stuff. And just to add to it, you know, there's been almost 200,000 people that have died during this war. And, according to the New York Times, 500,000 casualties, including the injured. So it's just, there's something behind this war that we're not being told, that they're not being upfront with us about.
Do you agree with me that all the bodies are buried there? I mean, there's no secret that this is the country who, you know, as the sitting vice president, Joe Biden, threatened to fire a prosecutor if he investigated his son Hunter, who was also in turn paid millions of dollars, you know, in bribes to be the you know, some chairman of the board or something for this Burisma fraudulent energy company. Victoria Nuland admitted to Marco Rubio on live television that there's dozens of U.S. taxpayer-funded, Pentagon-overseen, CIA-operated biolabs in this country. I mean, where does the corruption stop in this country? Why do their streets look nicer than our streets? What about the lies about the bombing of a maternity ward that turns out was vacant in an unoccupied building, or the ghost of Kyiv? I mean, we can't believe anything that they're telling us about this country. Why do we keep sending money there? Why are we there? What is our interest in this whole country thousands of miles away? And how does it benefit Americans that are talking about this at their dinner table?
Well, if you go back to Undersecretary Victoria Nuland, we know that she does have a historical grudge as her family is from Ukraine and they fled. But there's also another connection to it. Her husband is Robert Kagan, and he's the co-founder of the Project for the New American Century. And they are a very prominent neoconservative think tank that was very forceful in leveraging for the Iraq war. And if you add to it, Nuland, she definitely has the same ideology as her husband, Kagan. The New York Times referred to her as his unofficial editor. So
what's the common denominator between all of these people? I mean, we can look here at the Middle East Monitor. Israel is concerned about Jewish officials in the Biden administration. And it just turns out that other than Joe Biden himself, who I don't believe is pulling any strings there, 100% of the people that are responsible for creating this conflict, this proxy war, this kinetic war against Russia in Ukraine, happen to all call themselves practicing Jews. Does that raise an eyebrow? Are we allowed to say that?
I'm sure you know you really can't. You can't say that automatically. You'll get deemed as anti-Semitic, this and that.
But it's a fact. I mean, it's a fact. They are Jewish people. That's a fact. I mean, that's not anti-Semitic. That's just pointing out what's really happening here. I mean, we're not certainly going to stray away from that on this program.
Absolutely. What I'm saying is they're going to use those things just like the ADL does as coverage for their action.
Yeah.
I mean, they post all about their Jewish history, and then they expect no blowback in regards to that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
I mean, we have to be very concerned about, you know, a Zionist involvement and a Zionist overwhelming occupation of our federal government. And I'm just wondering, where does this come from? Can you explain that?
Well, that's very deep to dive into that. And then that goes along with the whole sentiment of our greatest ally being Israel. Yet they've never been involved in any wars with us. So it just, a lot of it doesn't make sense. I think a lot of it is that these people gain these, you know, they get their influence through academia, they get their influence through nonprofits, and they're also in government at a disproportionate level. We know that, and that's just a fact, but there's not much we can say without getting the rebuke from these nonprofits.
So, you know, in your piece for Town Hall, which, by the way, I recommend everybody goes and sees this, what is it, if you can explain to our audience who hasn't read it, what is driving our government's psychotic commitment to this war? Do you really believe that it's nepotism, and do you really believe that it's personal grudges, or do you think that there's something else? And as an extension to that question, part two, do the American people support this war, and do you think that they have an obsession or a commitment to this war in Ukraine?
Well, first, in regards to the American people, they don't support it. They don't. You can go to Morning Consult. They say they're not for intervention. They want to focus on the domestic issues. And we should be focusing on how Russia is going to be basically pushed into the arms of China. But, you know, I guess that's not that big of an issue. Russia is such a big concern, although they can't even take on Ukraine. As for the theory on, you know, like a Zionist controlled government, like I said, it could be just because of how the population makes up. We know that the voting base with Jews is like 90% or 85% liberal, and also the occupations that they take as well. There's also I also think that we have the neoconservatives that are bouncing off of the Zionists. They use them as essentially, again, a shield for their agenda, because they know that if you say against you say something against a Jew, that they're going to call it anti-Semitic, even though you have something grounded completely in fact. But the neoconservative wants to utilize that because they want cover, even though the people in America do not want foreign intervention, and we certainly don't want war. After Trump, you know, people have had a real 360, and they woke up with the Iraq war. We don't want this anymore.
No. These people need to be tried. These people are really criminals that are ripping off the American people and causing people to die as a result of it. There are innocent people over there in Ukraine. That part of it isn't fake. That part is very real. Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and all of these other NGOs are making a whole bunch of money to kill those innocent people, including children over there in Ukraine. And what our fake government corporate crime syndicate is telling and signaling to Americans is we don't care how many innocent people have to die so long as it enriches and empowers us. And that's what we'll continue to do. So whoever it is or whatever it is that's at the root of all this, and I don't care what the ADL says, they can kiss my ass in the crack, because I'll tell you what, those people over there at the ADL, and even Ben Shapiro would acknowledge, those people should be deemed enemy combatants. But they shouldn't. I think Elon Musk is starting to realize that too, although be it, I've got a lot of things to say about him. Townhall.com is where you can find Brian Fail's stuff. We really appreciate you being here, man. I think that the more that we dig into this, the more that we uncover about this, the more pissed off Americans are going to get. And along the way to rebuilding our freedom here in this country and gaining back our individual liberties and our autonomies and being ungovernable and abolishing an oppressive government, I think that people, as they realize what's been done to them, are going to start demanding some permanent accountability along the way. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Stu.
Taxation is theft, especially when your money is used to fund evil.
Wear a mask. Get boosted.
Corona hoax, mass deception, America controlled by fear. Good news, there's another way. You can stop paying for the crimes and cover-up today through Freedom Law School.
The best thing you can do, according to the IRS's own official auditors, is to stop filing and paying income taxes.
Based on the government's official websites, there is no law requiring 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. See the proof for yourself on freedomlawschool.org. Don't wait to drain the DC swamp. Start your journey to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. Starve out the problem. Weaponize your earnings. Defund the swamp and fund the truth and freedom movement today. Go to livefreenow.org and restore the freedom we all miss.
At some point, we've all been sold a big lie, including yours truly. It's called the protein lie. Starting in the 1980s, supplement companies began pushing massive protein consumption. We all believed that more protein equaled more muscle growth. I'm here to tell you that's a big fat lie. No surprise. Let's say that you eat an 8-ounce chicken breast. You're consuming about 40 grams of protein. However, just because something contains 40 grams of protein doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to absorb all 40 grams. No, without enzymes, most of it ends up in your toilet bowl. So if you don't have a sufficient supply of enzymes to digest the protein, your muscles will be starving for those vital building blocks. That's why it's crucial that you take a high-quality enzyme. The one that I trust and use myself is called Masszymes by Bioptimizers. Masszymes is a full-spectrum enzyme formula with more proteins than any other commercially available, with 5 different kinds of proteins. And you can try it today, risk-free. Their 365-day full money-back guarantee is the gold standard in the industry. When you go to bioptimizers.com/stu, be sure to enter the coupon code STUPETERS10 to get an extra 10% off of your order at bioptimizers.com/stu. Heart disease, blood clots, strokes, kidney failure. These can all be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle listed as side effects. And to top it all off, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. It's not only ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors to be popping ibuprofen pills. That's why researchers are saying to add this Antarctic supernutrient to your diet. These are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it can outperform ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol. And it doesn't have the dangerous side effects mentioned above either. Better yet, for a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to StopMyInflammation.com right now to get your special offer for being a part of my audience. StopMyInflammation.com. So it's yet another interview seen around the world courtesy of Tucker Carlson. On Wednesday, Tucker released an interview with Larry Sinclair, a middle-aged gay man from the Chicago area. Now, according to Sinclair, he met Obama in the late 90s for some rendezvous that included gay sex and a healthy heaping of crack cocaine. So we have to ask, was Sinclair telling the truth? We don't know. I mean, plenty of drug-addled gay men lie for attention. We know that. Everybody knows that. But does it really matter? We have to ask that as well. We already have more than enough evidence to say that Barack Obama was absolutely gay. He literally sent a letter to his girlfriend saying that, yeah, I considered gayness, but opted for the greater challenge of a heterosexual relationship. He said that he made love to men daily, but in his imagination. I mean, who are we kidding? He couldn't sound gayer if he literally wrote, I want you to peg me in the butt. Obama lied about being a pro-traditional marriage president in the 2008 election, then immediately became the most pro-gay, pro-trans, pro-degeneracy president in history who fully endorsed gay marriage in 2012. In a second term, his administration let tranny freaks into the military. He began waging war on schools that didn't let perverts into girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. The press literally called him America's first gay president, like they were being clever or something. So yes, Obama is gay. We don't need some crackhead from Chicago to tell us that. It's only the follow-up questions that really matter at this point. Questions like, is Michelle Obama even a woman? Are the Obamas' children actually theirs? Is the Obamas' dead chef really just a cook? So far, Obama hasn't even replied to Sinclair's allegations against him. We shouldn't be surprised, though. Even if these specific claims were blatantly false, a defamation lawsuit would open the Pandora's box for the full truth about the Obamas' personal life. With the family chef just found floating face down in Martha's Vineyard, that's the last thing that they want. Or is it? Maybe there's an even bigger plan to all of this. Maybe the time has finally arrived for Obama to return as America's most famous gay politician, taking center stage at the National Pride Parade, as it were. Nor Bin Laden is just as interested in this story as we are, and she joins us now. Nor, thank you so much for coming. It's a pleasure having you for the first time here. For people who don't know you, obviously, very famously, you are the niece of Osama bin Laden, whose actions you have denounced and who you have disavowed for his involvement or alleged involvement in 9/11. So what say you about, you know, this Sinclair interview with Tucker Carlson and Barack Obama being obviously gay?
Thank you for having me, Mr. Peters. The first thing I'd like to say is I observe everything that is going on in the United States very closely for various reasons. One, because I love your country very dearly. I've talked about this at length in different interviews. And the second thing is that we know across the world that whatever happens in the United States has an impact on all of us, even if we are not in the United States. And what's been going on surrounding Obama has been very interesting to me for many, many years. And so this was not the first time I was hearing about Mr. Sinclair. I had watched his press conference that he gave in 2008 when Obama was running as president, et cetera. And it's just one more piece in the very shady Obama puzzle. You did a wonderful monologue just a couple of moments ago. There are so many questions surrounding Obama. Yes, his sexuality is part of that, his background, his track record, his rumors about his mother being in the CIA. He is just a very shady character. And regardless of what unfolds with this new interview, which I found to be very credible, I mean, Mr. Sinclair is touching and he's steadfast, very detailed in his account, and has been saying the same thing for over 15 years now. So what's going to unfold around the specific topic of his sexuality is, of course, no doubt important in light of the trans agenda and the LGBTQXY letter program they have, which I'd love to talk about more. But the point that I wanted to make is that for me, the Obamas are the epitome of what is wrong with the ruling class at the head of America, in the sense that they absolutely hate the United States of America. And you can look at that is fact. If you just look at what he has done during his 8 years in the White House, and he has damaged the country in such a way where we are today, waging a big portion of that psychological warfare against the American people. And this is, I think, another episode in that psychological warfare, everything that's surrounding him and his sexuality. And they are what I call the ultimate anos, Americans in name only. You know, we have the rhinos, but we know that we are dealing with a uniparty here. And so for me, they are the ultimate anos, Americans in name only. And
yeah, even the most prolific self-proclaimed fighters, you know, America firsters in our federal government are fake. We acknowledge that. I don't believe that we have any representation for freedom-loving, you know, liberty-embracing patriots in this country. I don't think that we have any representation for Christians in this country, or specifically, if you really want to get down to brass tacks, straight white males in this country.
Listen, as someone who really loves your country and who really values and respect what your founding fathers were able to achieve, and make no mistake, whatever happens in the world right now is hinging on your First Amendment and your Second Amendment. I'm sitting here in Europe and the situation is dire. So we are really looking to America in order to stop this new world order. And coming back to a couple of the points I just made, the attacks on your country are because your country, thanks to your Constitution, thanks to your Bill of Rights, is what stands in the way of this new world order that they want to implement, of Agenda 2030. And unfortunately, I think it's going to get much worse before it gets better. It's going to get chaotic and crazy ahead of the 2024 elections. And I think what we're witnessing right now with this rollout around Obama and his sexuality could possibly be a part of the playbook, in the sense that they are going to roll him out as this gay icon, and you will have all the indoctrinated portion of the population who unfortunately succumbed to all this LGBTQ, et cetera, indoctrination, propaganda, you know, through the media, through entertainment, through the capture of the education system. I mean, they've been pushing this so hard for various reasons, including demoralization and the erosion of morality, but also, I believe, for the purposes of humiliating the United States on the world stage, and this would be part of it. And they will hail Obama, I think, as a gay icon in the months to come, should this be his outing. Let's put it that way, because we know the rumors have been circulating for years and years and years. So why now? Why is this getting the attention on a national level when they've been burying this for so many years? What is this timing about? And it fits perfectly with the advancement, as I was just mentioning, of the trans movement and trans agenda and the gay rights and all the steps they've been making steadily over the years.
Why is that? Because they're going to roll out the man pretending to be Michelle Obama as the first trans presidential candidate?
So that's the script. I actually tweeted that, and it was obviously in jest, but maybe not. Who knows? You know,
Obama is gay and they're going to out him, or he's going to out himself and be this prolific gay icon of the world, wrapping himself in rainbows and sucking dicks on the world stage. I mean, I don't know what he's planning to do. What are we supposed to believe about Michelle, Big Mike? I mean, how was it all fake? Are they going to get divorced? I mean, how do you see all of that playing out?
Listen, the tweet that I did, which got some traction a couple of days ago. Well, first of all, my initial instinct reaction when I saw the trailer drop of Larry Sinclair's interview with Tucker was, Big Mike is running. That's immediately what I thought. And if you can write the script, you know, the script would be he comes out as gay and then he's this gay icon and then she comes out. And obviously the press is going to ignore the crack, is going to ignore the fact that he lied. They're going he's going to be even more adulated. I mean, you have this guy, Ed Krasenstein or whatever his name is, who has a huge platform. He said, he tweeted yesterday, Barack Obama likely isn't gay, but if he was, that would make him even more likable. They're so predictable, Mr. Peters, and how they're going to spin this. And who knows, you know, then Michelle comes out. I don't know if she's a man or not, but I mean, she doesn't.
She has a
flailing, embody the she, most. She listen, doesn't embody the most feminine characteristics.
She has a man back and a flailing nutsack. I mean, there's certainly an appendage there. Nobody can ignore that. And Joan Rivers was absolutely right. And then they killed her because she was right.
Yeah, let me just say this. I definitely would not be surprised by that plot twist. And judging from the responses to my tweet with that scenario where she would be proposed or, you know, as the trans icon candidate for president in 2024, the responses were very much in that direction to my tweet saying that, yeah, many people also believe this is going to be the plot, right? So it feels like we're living in complete surreal times, Mr. Peters, and we're living through a real live TV series, which is quite unpleasant.
Yeah, for sure. It's a big movie. It's a huge screenplay. Most of it, all of it is fake. But I got to ask you this. So people are going to say this, you know, Barack Obama was the president. He's not the president anymore. Okay. Who cares if he's gay? Leave that man alone. Why should we care about this? I do, but I'm interested in your opinion here. Why should all Americans care that Barack Obama is a fudge packer?
I think it relates to what I was mentioning a few moments ago. You need to take it in the broader context, right? And you need to look at it in terms of what's been going on in the United States of America for over 100 years. I mean, what we're seeing unfold right now goes back to the 20s with people like Edward Bernays and Walter Lippmann, who devised, you know, techniques of mass propaganda and population control and manipulation. And you fast forward throughout the 20th century, what the United States has undergone is essentially a total capture of all of its institutions and its government, its federal government. And the weaponization of these institutions against the American people,
right,
and the education system and the media and entertainment.
Yes, and the military and the Department of Justice and the intelligence apparatus and federal law enforcement agents, every single bureaucracy, the Department of Education, all of our medical bureaucracies from the FDA to the CDC, they've all been weaponized. The United States government has openly declared war on its people.
Yes, and your audience will be very familiar with everything I just mentioned because, you know, at the root of it, there is very much a eugenicist program going on. And this is also a very important aspect of the trans agenda that we're seeing, where I would say the first immediate goal is the castration of a portion of the population. This is what they're doing, the evil things they're doing to children right now, where they're castrating them. And this is 100% part of the eugenicist plan. And then, you know, as I mentioned, it's the psychological warfare that's going on and the demoralization and the psychological, illnesses that are coming out. And people are not having children as we used to because people are, you know, in such a state. It's incredibly sad, but this whole thing with Obama, I think, yes, there's a part of it which is clickbait. There's part of it which is distraction. You know, going into the 2024 election, there's going to be so much chaos, so many distractions. It needs to be looked at in a broader context rather than just, oh, Obama was banging men, my language. You see what I mean?
He loves to ride the Hershey Highway. He puts on his mud flaps and he goes off-roading, and that's fine, whatever. He'll have to answer to God for that, if whatever. But you know, hearing everything that you're saying, Noor, my mind is over here, and you're saying things like, you know, Obama's mother was allegedly in the CIA. You know, you're saying things like, look, this is a big movie and a screenplay, and that it's all fake, and that there's going to be, you know, the U.S. government has been weaponized in every single way against the people. If you acknowledge and agree that they've openly declared war on us. You know, yes. You know about the fake pandemic and the weapons of biowarfare that they yes. unleashed on us, that they continue to push, and they want us dead. You mentioned eugenics. And 20 years later now, knowing all of that, knowing what we know, and knowing how the CIA created ISIS, and knowing that, you know, Saddam Hussein's ties to Al-Qaeda were all fake and weapons of mass destruction, and knowing how our military-industrial complex operates, looking at what just happened in Maui, and how this fire, there's so many different anomalies about this fire that make it very obvious that this wasn't just some wildfire. Knowing all of
and
that.
And the children missing, yes, also all the children that are missing.
Yeah, because a fire is a great excuse to take them and traffic them to pedophiles across the planet. But knowing all of that, how do you feel about the very likely possibility that in what appears to be an apparent United States combined with Israeli attack on the New York World Trade Centers on September 11th, that your uncle was a scapegoat?
You know, Mr. Peters, today's the 7th of September, 2023. So we're just a few days shy of another anniversary of that tragedy. And not a day goes by because of the name that I carry that I don't think about that day, that I don't think about the victims of 9/11. And it's impacted my life in various different ways. But again, I always come back to thinking about the victims of that day. And the only thing I'd like to say about that today is that I believe that every single person that was involved with that attack is absolutely evil and should be held responsible and face justice for what they've perpetrated against the American people, but not only knowing the aftermath and how that event was weaponized against the American people, but also other peoples across the world.
Yeah, you're talking about the Patriot Act. You're talking about unfettered surveillance, access to, you know, spying, all of these different things. You're talking about that. Yes, of course. All of
and
the lives.
Wars in the Middle East, that's right, afterwards, all the lives lost.
Yes. Yes. 20 years. So, 20 years. No, the people changed, that were in Afghanistan when we pulled out of there were still in diapers when those towers came down and had no idea why they were over there fighting, other than the fact that what we know now is that we were enriching NGOs, teaching transgenderism and the importance of it to passion tribesmen and looking the other way while warlords raped little boys. And it turns out that the people of that country in Afghanistan would rather have the Taliban than any of the corruption that the crime syndicate we call a federal government brings their way. While we, you know, give trillions of dollars to Lockheed Martin to test missiles on innocent people and send young children over there thinking that they're pounding the table for Toby Keith, because we'll put a boot in your ass, it's the American way, and get Americans to actually cheer on that bloodbath over there so that Pfizer butts love Lindsey Graham and all of his cronies in the DC Beltway can get filthy rich and maintain control.
Yes.
And I think that your uncle, Osama bin Laden, was a CIA operative. And I think that he wasn't responsible for planning that. And I don't think that a bunch of goat herding people from Afghanistan pulled military maneuvers in aircrafts and flew them into buildings. And nobody's ever proven anything since. Nobody's allowed to talk about it. You get kicked off of the internet. And I'm just interested to know what you think about that.
No, as I said, Mr. Peters, you know, this is something that has informed my life in many ways. But the one thing that I would like to say is that even though I have this very strange life path that put me in this situation where this is, you know, the name that I carry and I'm from that family, mm-hmm. We have all been impacted by what happened on that day, directly or indirectly. And again, the victims were the first ones to suffer. And the ones that lost loved ones on that day are the ones that are still bearing that loss. Yeah. And then again, continuing with all the people who have lost their lives in the wars that were used, where 9/11 was used as a justification to wage them. I mean, the horrors the horrors that we've seen the past 20 years. 9/11 changed the world and changed our world and paved the way for where we are today in terms of the tyranny that they are trying to impose on all of us. And this is why I decided to speak up. 9/11 was such a shock and a tragedy for all of us who remember that day, who are old enough to remember that day. And they have used many different events and crises throughout the past. I mean, my focus of research and my time frame of history is more or less since the American Revolution. So let's say the past 250 years, many crises were used or engineered in order to further their plans and the encroachment on our rights.
False flag attacks, our freedoms, is what you're basically saying. False flag attacks, yes, that are used, yes, to weaponize the government and all of its apparatus against the masses of people who otherwise could be dangerous if they found out what the truth was. Do you put it past the federal government to try to assassinate Joe Biden and blame it on a white supremacist, or try to assassinate Donald Trump to get rid of him altogether?
I don't put anything past the federal government. When you look at what happened, especially with the pandemic and the mass eugenicist program of the jabs, and I pray for President Trump that he is safe.
Yeah.
Because regardless whether you agree with certain things he did or that he could have done better, you know, I hear all these people, but he was one man. He was one man with a mission of trying to overturn all of this, fight all of this evil in such a short amount of time, with all of the might of the different institutions being used against him and weaponized against him. And one thing we can never forget is the amount of people, the number of people that this man has woken up to the realities that we've been discussing the past few minutes.
Yeah,
the magnitude of it. I think it's very hard for people. You know, sometimes I walk in the street, Mr. Peters, and I'm wondering, I look at certain people and I think they don't know the war that we're in. They're oblivious to the world,
yeah,
the war that we're in. We are truly in the first world war. You know, yes, they say we had World War I, World War II. Some people say that we are in World War III. I think we are truly in the first world war. And the magnitude of what we are facing, I think, thanks to President Trump, people are able to realize it. And then also with the pandemic, which was so grotesque and so huge, also the silver lining is that it served to wake up a tremendous amount of people, because it was just so egregious what they tried to pull on the world. And as I said, we need to buckle up. We have the elections next year coming up. It's going to get worse. It's going to get chaotic. It's going to get crazy. So many distractions, so many attacks on multiple fronts. It's hard to keep up, you know, but one thing I've said, you know, I was on InfoWars last night with Owen Shorer, and this is an important point I'd like to make, is that we cannot lose sight, despite what's going on in the United States. And as I said, it's very important to see what's happening and to pay attention to what's happening in the United States. But while all of this is happening, they are continuing to roll out Agenda 2030 and the New World Order, with the biometrics, with the CBDCs, with the social credit score system. And these are the walls of our digital jails that are being built in real time right now. You know, you have all these EU leaders, all the different heads of states of different countries. They are working. They are not stopping this. They are working hand in hand, very closely, very quickly, to implement the New World Order. And you know, your audience will be familiar with what's going on with the WHO, which I've been covering, you know, from Geneva, my hometown, on the ground. And yes, Larry Sinclair, Obama's sexuality, the lies around this man, the shadiness around this man, and his background deserve attention because it's a key piece, especially in the last, 15 years. One of the important developments in modern American politics, in the sense that it has led us to where we are today, and, with the level of degeneracy in the United States, and Obama played a huge part of that. And, the race divisions and the hatred and we went from a country where almost every single household had an American flag on its lawn, proudly, floating in the air, to a portion of the population that don't even know that independence was declared in 1776, that believe that the founding fathers were racist, horrible men because of projects like Project 1619 and other indoctrination material that is being taught in schools. And Obama played a huge role in that, and his 8 years in office were absolutely catastrophic to the state, not only of America, but of the world.
I couldn't agree with you more. Based Bin Laden, that's what we're going to call you from now on.
Thank you.
Thinking about the times that you were talking about where virtually every home had an American flag, they were going to church on Sundays, these were the upbringings, we watched elections, and yeah, they got fun during debate time, you went to the polls, you voted, there was never rioting and chaos. We've escalated, and the trajectory has just been unbelievable how quickly that this has all moved to violence in the streets and rigged, elections and burning of cities over a career criminal home-invading thug and all of the multiple psychological operations that are running in this country right now. And when you say that we need to buckle up and get ready, I think that what I would like to add to that is, when you're going to buckle up, though, don't sit down and go along for the ride. Buckle up and be in the driver's seat, because we have to be the plan. We're the ones that have to take our country back. And before we go, I've got 2 minutes left here. I just want to hear, you're in Europe. So when you ask people or talk to people, what is the general consensus in Europe about the state of America? And are they cheering for the people, and do they know what we're up against?
That's a great question. I live a pretty secluded life in the mountains. I'm not really in communication with a lot of people. But one thing that I have observed is that there are millions of us patriots, even though I'm not an American citizen. I call myself a patriot at heart. And there are millions of us across the world that are rooting for you, that are rooting for America, that are rooting for an American comeback. And that's why so many people across the world love President Trump. I mean, it's unprecedented, Mr. Peters, when you look at what happened, even, during his presidency, but also afterwards when they installed Biden in the White House. Can you think of any other president that had marches and rallies organized for him in Japan, in South America, in Africa? I mean,
you're right.
This man is loved across the world because we know that he is fighting for America first, but we know that through America first, the other countries have a chance of regaining their sovereignty and their independence from this international world order and all these international organizations that have brought countries to their knees by using all these vehicles and legal instruments to bind them and blackmail them into adopting their agendas through the World Bank, through the IMF, et cetera, all the United Nations apparatus. Mm-hmm. This is a huge blackmail operation that's been going on. And I've been going to the States since I'm 3 years old. The United States is like my second home. I've spent a lot of time there. And your people have one thing, many, many qualities, but one thing you have is common sense. You've always had that. And it is thanks to you that the United States, did not join the League of Nations when it was proposed in the early 20th century in the aftermath of the First World War. At that time, your Senate, your government wasn't as compromised. and respected the will of the people. And the American people knew not to join this first attempt at the New World Order that was the League of Nations. And it will have taken another world war and a lot of propaganda and a lot of psychological operations throughout the first half of the 20th century to bring about the United Nations and have the US be a part of that. So you need to look at your history. You need to look at the history of the 20th century, and you need a revival of that spirit. That's what I called
that's
for.
Right.
You know,
I
that's
agree.
What I've been calling for.
Yes.
A revival of the 1776 spirit.
That's
Make
right.
America independent again.
Yes. I'm got to get to this break because we've already blown through two of them. Noor Bin Laden, I hope to have you back. Very great conversation. You're a wonderful, well-informed person. Based Bin Laden, she knows exactly what's going on. And when I say that you need to get organized, this is what I mean. What Noor was just saying, what she was just saying is so many people that you go and you see in the grocery store or at soccer practice or out in the street or at church or your neighbors in your neighborhood have no idea that we're in this fifth generational warfare. They have no idea that we're under attack by our federal government. And so aside from making sure that you have enough guns and a whole lot of ammo and that you do absolutely nothing except for hold on to them and never give an inch on your Second Amendment and be ready and assemble with the people and organize in your government and organize your own form of government and protect yourself and your neighbors against federal invasion. This is what I'm talking about. Militia should not be a bad word. Advise your sheriff what it is that you're doing. Be well organized. Don't ask permission from your DA. Advise your DA what it is that you're going to do as an American, that you are by any means going to protect your life, your liberty, and your property. But also go on a campaign while you're organizing to make sure that those that are organized with you and on the same page are out there telling the lady at church and the lady in the supermarket and the lady at soccer practice that they are under attack and that, yes, they are coming for them and their children as well. And if they're not ready to protect them by any means necessary, then they will be a victim just like everyone else. We'll be right back. I didn't have to bring you this disgusting news. But you know that holster company that I've been working with as a sponsor for the past 4 months, Vanish Holsters, they've just been banned. Yeah, even though they're legally allowed to purchase it, Amazon, Google, and Facebook just banned it for sale to more than 7.7 million Americans who live in a certain state. Now, the good news is they can't stop me or us from getting it in their hands, or in your hands, for that matter. Now, crazy enough, the reason that it was banned is because that holster, Vanish Holster, enhances the concealment of a weapon better than just about any other holster on the market. And even better, it works with 99% of all semi-auto handguns. It works without a tactical belt. It lets you carry in multiple positions. It carries two fully loaded magazines. Best of all, using my link, you get it for $40 off. So lock in your special pricing right now. Go to vanish.com/stew. Again, that's vnsh.com/stew. Again, vnsh.com/stew.
What if I told you there was a hostile alien species that controls your appetite, sleep, and focus? Invaders that urinate and defecate throughout your body whenever they are hungry. We call them parasites, and they are the root cause of many health issues that result in pain, suffering, and death. The Purge is our solution. Purge Suddenly offers a unique blend of 17 detoxifying ingredients, including black walnut hull and wormwood, scientifically proven to not only kill parasites, but to destroy and flush them out. If you've never gone through a parasite cleanse or didn't do it the right way, our proven formula prepares you for a complete and total victory. Increased alertness, weight loss, and clear skin are just a few of the potential benefits customers have reported back. Kill the parasites, destroy their eggs, and build a big, beautiful wall inside your body to keep them out. It is time to purge suddenly. It's you or them. Make your move now.
I'm going to fill this box here, and I'm going to try to replicate the indoor environment that most people face anywhere in the world today. The more energy efficient that we become, the more airtight that we make our houses, the more toxic it is for our environment. our technology is vibrating the air at a rate of speed. Anything that is 0.001 microns or larger does not stand a chance in the presence of not only photocatalytic oxidation, but needlepoint negative ionization. We're sending out an ion wave that is going through walls, doors, floors, carpets, paddings, draperies, and it's synergistically vibrating the air, and it's going to drop it down to the ground as a biologically inert substance. Now, this is where you're going to come in. You can mop this matter, you can vacuum it, you can sweep it, but our technology is going to make sure that you're not continuously breathing this in.
A defamation league, an organization who was formed by Jewish lawyers who were a part of B'nai B'rith, a Masonic Jewish fraternity. The ADL, who ironically used the slogan, Fighting Hate for Good, were actually formed out of hate, racism, and corruption to protect a known Jewish pedophile named Leo Frank, who murdered and raped a 13-year-old Catholic girl called Mary Fagan, a child worker at Leo Frank's pencil factory. While Leo was being held in custody awaiting trial, he tried to have a black man framed and a black key witness murdered, as to prevent them from testifying against him. This attempt, however, failed, and Leo was found guilty and sentenced to life in prison. However, the governor of Georgia had his sentence commuted. They never denied his guilt, but they sought to let him free anyway. The governor also happened to be the lawyer at the law firm that attempted to defend Leo. The Georgians took the matters into their own hands when they found this out, and they lynched Leo Frank. These Jewish lawyers and Freemasons formed the organization which now is called the ADL, who currently lead the way in internet censorship and cancel culture. The reason why I bring all of this up is because the ADL website has a page dedicated to the topic of Jewish human sacrifice, and I would like to read the opening part of their article. According to their article, quote, "The blood libel refers to a centuries-old false allegation that Jews murder Christians, especially Christian children, to use their blood for ritual purposes, such as an ingredient in the baking of a Passover matzah, also known as unleavened bread."
So last week, Twitter CEO Linda Yaccarino, the World Economic Forum sycophant and former NBC executive, did what every supporter of free speech in this country dreads. She held a meeting with the ADL's CEO. Now, everybody feared the imminent arrival of mass censorship on Twitter at the ADL's request, rightfully so. But instead, something fascinating happened. Elon Musk is apparently going to war against the ADL. At the end of last week, the hashtag BanTheADL went ultra-viral on Twitter with well over 100,000 tweets about it after the trend was begun by influencer Keith Woods. Now, amazingly, it worked. Musk saw the tweets. And since he's learning more and more about what the real nature of the ADL is, they're a shakedown organization that uses the fake veneer of being an anti-hate group to fan anti-white hatred themselves and to demand submission to left-wing radical agendas. This is the organization that says if you say it's okay to be white, that's hate speech. At the same time, kill the Boer is just history. And now Elon Musk wants the world to learn, so he's talking about this major defamation lawsuit against the ADL. He's accusing them of smearing Twitter and thereby cutting its value by tens of billions of dollars. Now, if Musk's lawsuit succeeds, it could destroy the ADL, which would immeasurably improve American politics and American life in general. Now, whatever we think of Elon Musk overall, we have to support him in this particular cause. It's going to be a tough battle. The ADL's bread and butter is calling everyone who disagrees with them an anti-Semite, regardless of the facts, even if their critic is him or herself a Jew. The ADL is not some fly-by-night operation. Make no mistake, they have hundreds of millions of dollars to work with directly and billions of dollars worth of influence spread all across the economy. So defeating them will be on par with bringing down the SPLC or the NAACP. In fact, it's likely to be tougher, but we have to do it. Make no mistake, the ADL is the most formidable actual hate group in this country. They have to be crushed. Sam Parker ran against Mitt Romney in 2018 for the U.S. Senate, and he joins us now. Sam, thank you so much for coming. What say you about all of this?
Listen, they are an enemy to our republic. They're an enemy to the Constitution, and the Defamation League has no place in American politics or our country, and certainly not the arbiters of free speech online.
And they obviously have been very successful in participating or leading the way of cancel culture in this country. I mean, nuking people off of the internet as anti-Semitic, when in fact, really most of the things that are said that are held against people are actually rooted in fact.
That's correct. They'll call you an anti-Semite, but they'll never call you a liar, right? That's what we say, because they can't call you a liar, because if you notice things and say things that are true and they don't like them, they'll just label you an anti-Semite. And that's really all anti-Semitism has become now, it seems like. It's just stuff that the ADL and their ilk don't like. If you say things they don't like, that's anti-Semitic.
So what are some of the things that you say that are true where they can't call you a liar, but they'll call you an anti-Semite that you think are the most, you know, danger-imposing issues in America?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. For instance, any criticism of George Soros has been defined by them as anti-Semitism. So if you criticize George Soros and his activism that he pursues to flood Western countries with refugees and immigrants and migrants and, you know, these open border policies, if you oppose George Soros's funding of all these district attorneys around the country who are allowing crime to run rampant in their communities and not prosecute it, if you oppose George Soros on these radical leftist supremacist, you know, Jewish supremacist ideologies, you're an anti-Semite. You don't even have to bring up that he's Jewish. In fact, most of the time we don't, because it's irrelevant. He pushes these radical progressive left-wing ideologies. But they use the shield of anti-Semitism to try to defeat your criticism of what he's doing to our country. So that's one example. So they won't say, oh, you'll say George Soros is funding these district attorneys who don't want to prosecute criminals and rioters. Well, that's anti-Semitic. You're attacking George Soros. That's anti-Semitic. Well, we didn't say anything about him being Jewish. We're just criticizing his policies and what he's doing.
So there's, and for the record, example. George Soros is not a practicing Jew. He's more like a Satan worshiper. Yes, and you can't say that we don't want crime in the streets without being labeled an anti-Semite. What about pointing out the fact that there's this Zionist infiltration and basically full-on overtaking of our federal government?
Yeah, well, you know, that's another thing. A lot of our federal government is full of people who have a lot of allegiance to Israel historically and ethnically, and they push policies that are favorable to Israel. And if you think that American politics should be America first and pro-American, and whether or not they happen to align with what's good for Israel, you're anti-Semitic. And so the Defamation League will paint you as an anti-Semite if you criticize any sort of policy that favors Israel at the expense of America, or if it's just a policy that as an American you don't like and don't agree with. If you're not for it, if you're not pro-Israel, rah-rah, then you're an anti-Semite.
Where does this whole notion come from that we're supposed to continue to declare Israel as our greatest ally?
Well, I think it came from them. I mean, listen, it's been very successful. It's been a very successful message that they've pushed for decades, that Israel's our greatest ally. They flooded the airwaves with it. They flooded it online. They flooded talk radio with it. It's been a very successful, you know, shall we say, ad campaign for them. And so a lot of people have been convinced that Israel is our greatest ally. And I'm not saying there are, you know, I'm not saying that they can't be an ally or that they aren't an ally in many great things. But to put their interests above ours consistently, it seems all the time, is just, it's folly. It's not an America first policy. And listen, I'm an American. I want America first policies. And, you know, when I see presidential candidates getting up on stage at presidential debates, proudly wearing lapel pins with the, you know, the flag of Israel, I question their allegiance, you know, and when I see governors, you know, like, for instance, Greg Abbott, who proudly announced how the Texas legislature and the state of Texas were going to, you know, denigrate free speech platforms like Gab.com as anti-Semitic, and that Gab has no place in the state of Texas, while he had a flag of Israel behind him. I'm like, it makes me question things. I'm like, who's he working for? You know, where is this policy coming from? You know, this isn't, that's not free speech.
You know,
free
you mentioned something interesting, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you said that, you know, Israel, you're not saying that they couldn't be an ally or that they haven't been an ally in many terrific things. And I'm just wondering, what has Israel done for us, or how have they shown any allegiance to our country? It seems to me that it's a one-way street. Am I wrong?
Well, you know, that you do bring up a good point. The line, what have they done for us? Has Israel sent billions of dollars to us in our time of need? I don't know if anybody can show me a place where I know that we're sending them billions of dollars every year, and we have for decades.
For a country that I don't really think needs it. I think that there's probably no shortage of, you know, money in Israel. Is there?
Well, I know that we help them out with weapons technology and give them loans to buy our weapons, and then they turn around and sell our technology to other countries and make money off it. So I'm like, wait a second.
By the way, countries that are adversarial to the United States.
Adversarial. And I'm like, wait a second. Why are we giving them money and technology when they're just turning around? And so it's like they're profiting twice and we're losing twice. So it's a good question. You know, and dare we bring up the USS Liberty incident from the 1960s, which they still lie about and try to cover up, you know, cover up.
I went and sat down with these people, the survivors. It made me absolutely sick to my stomach.
Oh, yeah. These guys are great. They're salt of the earth. They're total American patriots, and they have absolutely just been dumped on and dropped by our own American government, who seems to value some sort of relationship with Israel over our own servicemen.
What about dual citizenship, and why do so many politicians in our federal government hold dual citizenship? I mean, why doesn't Kevin McCarthy, who, by the way, let's just show a picture. Here's Kevin McCarthy wearing his Israeli lapel pin, as Sam pointed out, that so many of these politicians do. I don't know why they do this. They do this in the chamber, right on, you know, the U.S. House floor. I don't know why we're doing that. I mean, this is the House that governs the American people in the United States of America, or it's supposed to anyways. Why doesn't he right now, as, you know, an America First conservative Republican representing or doing the bidding of the people, why, if he's such an America First conservative, is he not, you know, begging or proclaiming or demanding that there's legislation passed to ban dual citizenship for members of our federal government?
Well, Stu, talk about questions that answers themselves, right? I mean, that's what that is. I mean, have you ever seen that meme that says politicians should wear, you know, sponsor patches of the people who pay for them? You know, I mean, that's what this Israel pin is. They're wearing the patch of, you know, the people who sponsor them. You know, that's who funds their campaigns. I've heard that they have to sign these allegiance pledges on paper when you become a member of Congress. Cynthia McKinney has talked about that. These are the people that they're beholden to, not us. The voters are not the actual constituents of many of these people. It's the big donors. And many of these big donors are Israel First billionaires and millionaires who want Israeli policies. And they use the American political system, to get things done. Even Donald Trump, you know, he's on record as having saying how much influence Israel has had in Congress. I mean, he said it, you know, lamenting that they didn't have as much influence as they used to. I'm not sure what to make of that, but nevertheless, he acknowledged how much influence they have. So why doesn't Kevin McCarthy do anything about it? Because we aren't his constituents. Apparently, other interests are his real constituents.
Brilliantly said. I couldn't have said it better. Yes, his real constituency is on Israeli soil. So, and I want to say, I mean, what you said isn't hyperbole. It's not an exaggeration, but I want to eliminate any hearsay. You said that you had heard that people sign this stuff, and that may be true or may not be, but we have physical evidence that all of this is true. If you're going to announce for a candidacy, say for the president of the United States of America first, you have to go to Israel and smooch the wall. Yeah. Here's Ron DeSantis right here, smooching the wall. Also, by the way, on Israeli soil, Ron DeSantis signed the most anti-free speech law, I think, in the entire United States for the Sunshine State, the free state, the liberated state of Florida, where everybody is kissing his ass and saying that he's just been the most tremendous governor of all time. By the way, where there's still a law in the books that allows health officials and cops to chase you down, physically pin you down, and inject you with what they call vaccines. But also, let's just be fair, here's Donald Trump smooching the wall as well. It's, you have to go there and you have to get the blessing of Israel or the billionaires or millionaires and their power structure before you announce a candidacy for any federal or public office here in the United States. So that's true. What kind of danger does that pose to the Americans who haven't been paying attention and say, oh yeah, Israel, they're our greatest ally?
Well, I think it poses a lot of danger. Look at Jonathan Pollard, the great Israeli spy, who was one of the He did one of some of the most damage in our nation's history, spying against Americans. And he was in jail for several years. And then Donald Trump pardoned him on his last day in office. And he was flown to Israel on a private plane and met by Benjamin Netanyahu himself on the tarmac and hailed as a hero of Israel for betraying Americans. And so, I mean, I think there's a lot of danger here. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Listen, there's a lot of evidence that the Defamation League is a front group for the Mossad. They spy on people. They keep dossiers on people. They squash our constitutional free speech, enshrined free speech. Now, listen, I know that private companies aren't protected by the Constitution, but the principle of free speech is still 100% American, and they squash that. So I think there's a great danger here to allowing Israel to have so much influence over our politics when they spy on us and when their front groups suppress our constitutional freedoms. I don't know how that's not dangerous to us.
A defamation lawsuit, ironically filed against the Anti-Defamation League. How realistic is that, and how important is it that Musk follows through with that? I've got 2 minutes left.
Well, I think it's absolutely critical that we back Elon Musk. Listen, he might be doing this grudgingly. He might really be spoiling for this fight. I don't know. But we have to keep the pedal to the metal and have his back, because they're going to throw everything at him. They're throwing stuff at him. They've cost his platform billions and billions of dollars. He's struggling. It's being strangled, in his words. We have to get behind him. I can't comment on, you know, his legal chances. Perhaps they're not great. But I can tell you this. If we don't stand behind him and bolster him and go after the enemies attacking him, then it's going to be a lot harder for him. Yeah. So we can help him.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree 100%. I will just note, by the way, if you go to Google, which is not a reliable source for information, but if you go there and you just put Stu Peters in there, below my completely fake and horribly written Wikipedia page that I think was published almost entirely by the Rolling Stone, USA Today, and the Daily Beast, who are really great outlets. Right below that, ADL.org, Stu Peters, I have my own page. I'm wearing it like a medal of honor, like a badge of honor. There is no greater enemy to have than the ADL, the most dangerous, dangerous enemy to free speech that there could possibly be. Sam Parker, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on, Stu.
Okay, so here's a new one. Incredibly amazing stuff here. Scientists have actually discovered a mushroom that, get this, grows new brain cells. Through a newly discovered phenomenon called neurogenesis, it's now known that the brain can actually regenerate itself, and this exotic mushroom stimulates that process. I mean, they should give some of this stuff to Joe Biden. To learn more about this and the new breakthrough product, go to newtopia.com/Stu and use promo code StuPeters10 for 10% off your first jar. I gotta tell you, this is a huge breakthrough for anyone who just wants to be smarter. And I mean, who doesn't want that? Again, to learn more, go to newtopia.com/Stu. Again, newtopia.com/Stu. I don't believe in the process of elections. I believe it's all rigged. I believe that they're all stolen. And the more I talk about this with experts every day, the more I'm convinced that we're living in this movie. It's all fake. But let's just say that somehow, magically, overnight, we return to this constitutional republic, two-party representative government system where your vote counts and it's real. There's not a single candidate who's willing to throw their balls on the table and stand up to do the right thing. The institutions that we rely on, the government, the legal system, the media, all of them seem to be increasingly focused on their own agendas rather than serving the interests of the public. We need to recognize that we can't count on them to save us. So you have to save yourself. And part of saving yourself means protecting your future. That's why I partnered with GoldCo. Because I believe that they can help you get into gold and silver just like they did for me. Here's the facts. GoldCo has helped protect over $2 billion in gold and silver for people just like you and me. And right now they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver with qualified orders just for being a supporter of the Stu Peters Show. So whether you want to protect 50 grand or $500,000 or more, this is your opportunity to protect yourself from their out-of-control corrupt government. Don't be a victim. Call GoldCo, 855-706-GOLD. Again, 855-706-GOLD, or go to goldco.com/Stu. Almost every single day on this program, you hear me talking about Carlos Cortez. Cortez Wealth Management. Stop doing business with communists. What I mean by that, obviously, is that these people are under the thumb of Wall Street. Who's these people? I'm talking about financial advisors, the big box firms, you know, the big banks, all of these well-known, heavily advertised names. And so if they have to be under the thumb of Wall Street, that means that by extension, those people are under the thumb of the Biden regime, which is this occupying force, this illegitimate pedophile, this tyrannical, like, one world governance that's headed our way. And obviously, if they're willing to steal your children and they're willing to steal your freedom and your individual liberty and trample all over the Constitution, then obviously they want to take your money as well, which is why we've been warning that this great financial reset is imminent. There's going to be a day where we all wake up one day and we go to, you know, make a purchase or something and your card has declined and you don't know why because you've had plenty of money. So then you go and you look in your bank account and guess what? It's at zero or it's closed. This is going to happen. And we've been warning against this for a very long time, trying to make you aware that this is inevitable. And so, you know, Carlos Cortez is here with us. And I just want to say, well, first of all, thank you for coming, Carlos. I just want to say, like, you know, we've had a lot of emails here at the Stu Peters Show, both in my personal email as well as, you know, our production email and our general mailbox, just thanking us, you know, for introducing them to you. So obviously you're taking care of these people. How are you doing it?
Yeah. So, I mean, just like you said, like the federal government, man, they just want to kill, murder, destroy, track, trace, and control. And that's what they're doing financially, physically, pretty much any way possible they're doing it. And so one a backdoor way is through this FedNow program, as you have we talked about on Scriptures and Wall Street and Stu Peters Network. They are going to track, trace, and control your money. And so when we have bank accounts, these banks really want to get in bed with the federal government on this FedNow tracking program. So what's popular, Stu, right now is non-member banks, banks that have raised their hand. There's not many of them. There's banks right now that have raised their hand and said, look, we want to be disassociated with the federal FDIC claim. The FDIC claim, in my opinion, is the biggest hogwash. You know, you're literally signing up for the FedNow program.
So how are you protecting people from this and how are you keeping them safe from this imminent reset that I keep talking about?
Yeah, so you want to look into non-bank financial institutions. So we want to get out of banking laws and get into insurance laws, insurance contracts, non-financial banks, which is an oxymoron. But if you call our office, we can have a suitable conversation and we can come up with a strategy that fits your goals, your needs, and you're not supporting the Luciferian track, trace, and control.
Yeah, so by extension, your needs, but also in alignment with your morals and your faith.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, how many people are invested in Pfizer and don't even know it, or Moderna, or Gilead, right, which is responsible for bringing remdesivir, or any one of these nefarious things that we're funding, and we're funding them to our own detriment. We're funding our own demise, and you got to get out of that system. So call a non-communist, call an independent fiduciary. He can help you nationwide. Phone number is 813-448-3446. Again, it's 813-448-3446, or you can just book your appointment online, whether you want to see him in person or virtually or talk on the phone. Just go to CortezWM.com. Again, CortezWM.com. Carlos, by the way, rolled out the America First Retirement Plan, which includes the never taxed retirement strategy. If you want to avoid that, you know, taxation, criminal enterprise, funding this regime. It's just, we got to get away from doing that. So again, make your appointment, 813-448-3446, or online at CortezWM.com. We're out of time, over time for today, actually. But we will be back here tomorrow, Friday, plus special upcoming in-person interviews starting next week, trying something new. Also, look for me live on Rumble. Never know when I'm going to pop up live, but I love it when you're in the chats. We did it late last night. It was a smashing success. We're going to start taking phoners here on the Stu Peters Show. We're going to do a whole bunch of new stuff here that we want to get you more involved. This has always been a platform where we want to give regular people a voice, you a voice. We, the people, have to be the plan. And that means that we need to amplify our voices, ask all of the questions, and demand accountability and extreme accountability, permanent accountability for those in need. More of the Stu Peters Show tomorrow. We will see you then from the same time at the same place. Till then, God bless you.